Let us read together from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the first and a part of the second chapter. O thou great, holy, and eternal God, do permit us once more to bow before thee in prayer. Thou art that high and holy one which inhabiteth eternity. Heaven is thy throne, and earth is thy footstool. Well might we join with thy servant of old when he considered all the work of thy hand. He said, what is man, for thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, for thou visitest him? And Lord, who are we, that we should expect thee to be mindful of us? And yet, Lord, that is indeed our desire at this time. As we are found, met together, we hope gather together in thy name on this Sabbath morning, we do earnestly beseech thee to take notice of us. Midst all thy vast concerns, O God, do not pass us by. Condescend in thy mercy to look upon us now and bless us as we are found gathered together in thy court. We would return thanks unto thee for thy goodness and mercy to us. We often repeat in so many words, but do ever keep us mindful of the fact that it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And Lord, we would thank thee too for thy goodness and mercy to us day by day. May we never forget the mercies with which we are surrounded. The earth is full of thy goodness. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But Lord, above all these mercies, we would bless thee in that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And as we meet here on this Sabbath morning, we recall the words of one of thy dear servants of old. He said, we are out of hell, we are on praying ground, and we are still where hope can come. Oh, what a mercy, Lord, that we are found here out of hell and still where hope can come to us. Well, make known thy mercy to us this day, Lord. And as we come before thee now and present our petition, so we would confess our sins and plead for mercy. Do not leave us to an empty lip confession. Give us to know and feel that we are sinners. Bring us as true mourners over our sins and after thee. Grant unto us those sacrifices of a broken heart. For, Lord, thou wilt not despise such sacrifices. Help us each to come mourning over our sins and pleading for mercy. And as we present our petitions, we will present them in and through the name and merits of thy dear Son. We are undeserving of the least mercy, and we have no good of our own to bring. There is nothing at all in us to merit thy favor. But there is everything in thy dear Son, and it is his precious blood, his justifying righteousness, which we would plead before thee now and ask thee to to command thy blessing upon us here this day. The particular circumstances in which we meet, O Lord, are known to thee, and we feel we would commit the services of this day into thy hand. Lord, thou hast led us in a way which the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trodden it. Thou hast made known thy sovereign power in our life, and we believe in thy mercy thou hast caused us to know and do thy will. And thou hast brought us to this place, to this position which we occupy this morning, against all that the flesh would desire. We believe, Lord, it has been in accordance with thy will. Now, dearest Lord, could it please thee to come among us and make bare thine arm and send out thy light and thy truth? And as we have seen a little or tasted a little of the bud, Lord, may there be the flower. O gracious God, come in thy power yet once more. We know that whatsoever thou doest it forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. Could it please thee, Lord, to come among us here this day and bless thy people? Thou hast brought them to know the power of prayer. And Lord, do grant, in all that lays before us, we may prove it yet still more. Ah, one said, rest in prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Lord, do come among us this day. Hast thou not said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Send thy word, Lord. O Lord, do quicken dead sinners into divine life. May we see thy word go forth this day, accompanied with power, even in some measure as on the day of Pentecost. For on that day there were many pricked in their heart, and in the agony of their mind and soul they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, Lord, thou art the same God today, and we do earnestly beseech thee that thou wilt come again in thy power. Lord, do save us from our unbelief. Do save us from a fatalistic spirit, whereby we shall say that thou dost not appear and bless thy word today as thou usest to do. Thou art the same God, the same yesterday and today and forever. May we not dishonor thee by our unbelief. May we remember the word we sometimes sing, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his love and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Hast thou not said, O Lord, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it? Lord Jesus, when upon earth didst thou not say, ask, and it shall be given you? Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Dearest Lord, do help us now unitedly to lay hold upon thee, to wrestle with thee, and to prevail with thee. There is before us this morning, Lord, a company of people whom for the most part we do not know, but thou knowest them all together. And Lord, thou knowest we have a concern as to whether they are right in thy sight. Or may there be, even this morning, may there be a right realization of the awful solemnity of those things which concern our never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. One said, pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Lord, do come and solemnly impress upon the mind of each one present this morning that they shall spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Oh Lord, we do seem to be so much taken up and sometimes carried away with the things of time, but oh, how solemn are the things of eternity. Come, dearest Lord, at this time, stretch forth thine hand, and could it please thee to bless thy word according to the needs of the people. And again we pray thee, quicken thy dead elect. Oh, may there be those wrought upon powerfully and effectually, and brought to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And then, Lord, do bless thy dear people. There are those whom we know, they love and fear thy name. Would it please thee, Lord, to strengthen that which thou hast wrought for us, and let thy work appear. Thou knowest where there is a good work begun, and we bless thee, thou wilt never leave it undone. But thou wilt perfect it, thou wilt perform it, until the day of Jesus Christ. Could it please thee, dearest Lord, to come to thy people? Thy church is in the wilderness. For the most part, thy people have to mourn over the dryness of their bones. They look back, maybe, to the days of their first love, what precious days they were. And they say, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-reviving dew of Jesus and his word? What blessed hours I then enjoyed. How sweet their memory still. But now I find an aching void the world can never fill. Come to thy people. And could it please thee, O Lord, do grant that in the ministry of thy word this day there may be dropped some handfuls of purpose. Thou knowest whether there are any roots here, any who come gleaning, any who come with a living desire in the heart which only thou canst fulfill. Come, Lord, we pray, visit thy people here, bless them individually. We bear before thee the young, be very gracious unto them, and all may we see thy power made known in them. And then there are aged friends, and there are those in affliction, and doubtless there are those who are absent, maybe because of infirmity. There are those in trial, sorrow, and temptation. Lord, would thou graciously appear, and do bless thy dear people, and do grant a word in season this day. Bless thy people here collectively. Oh Lord, I know if there are those things we cannot express to thee in words. Come, Lord, and bless us together. O cast us not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. And we do desire, O Lord, in what lays before us, that in the day of Jesus Christ it shall be recorded that this man was born there. Or we would humbly commit our every care, our every anxiety and every matter in connection with thy church and people here into thy care and keeping. For thou art the head of the church. We want thee, O Lord, to come and be head among us. We pray that thou wilt make known among us thy constraining and thy restraining power. Come, dearest Lord, and bless us each. Do hear the prayers offered on our behalf by thy people here, and we would pray for them. May there be a building up, a binding together in the bonds of love and union. And oh, above all, Lord, may thy great name be magnified in our midst. And as oft as we meet together here, Lord, may we seek the honor and glory of thy name in our worship, in our form, in everything. We stand or fall before thee, every one of us. And Lord, we shall give an account of our ministry, and the people will give an account of their hearing. There is no escaping the day of Jesus Christ, when every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Be pleased, O Lord, to so bless thy word, that there will be the practical fruits of it, that we might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, that men may take note of us, and in our deportment and in our lives, they shall say, he's been with Jesus. All may that be said of us. Grant us grace then to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Save us from the world, the friendship of it, the fashion of it. Oh, mercifully keep us when we're in it and have to do with it. Deliver us, O Lord, from all evil. Save us from ourselves. Save us from the enemy. Do not leave us ignorant of his devices, but come, dearest Lord, and keep us. Clothe us with the whole armor of God. Bless all thy dear people everywhere this day, where they are found gathered together in thy name. Do enlarge our coast, that we can in sincerity say, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And Lord, we can and we must bring before thee the numbers of gatherings of people we've left behind in the old country. Lord, we can never give them up. Bless them, Lord, this day. They've already met together once. Be with them now and this evening, Lord, and be with all thy servants, no matter wherever they are found. Come once more in thy power. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us. And oh, do bless Zion everywhere. Oh, stretch forth thine hand, dearest Lord, and bless thy one church. Help us to pray one for another. Help us to pray for Zion. One said, my soul shall pray for Zion still, whilst life and breath remain. For there my best friends, my kindred dwell, there God my Saviour reigns. We would lay before thee national affairs, and we pray for all in authority, Lord, we live in that day when men's hearts fail them for fear of what is coming upon the earth. But oh, what a mercy to realize that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hast thou not said, be still, and know that I am God? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, Lord, grant us thy help as we attempt to speak in thy name. Help thy people to hear. Come and bless us together and do us good. Forgive all our sins. Wash us in thy precious blood. We ask every mercy for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Hymn number 454. Thy presence, gracious God, afford, prepare us to receive thy word. Now let thy voice engage our ear, and faith be mixed with what we hear. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servant bless, and crown thy gospel with success.
Thank you.
just announced that, God willing, the Thanksgiving service will be held on Thursday morning next at 9:30, when the collection will be taken in support of the Holland Home. I direct your attention to the Epistle to the Romans, the first chapter, the 15th and 16th verses. Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I claim to be no Apostle Paul. I have neither his grace nor his gift. And yet I believe, in some measure, I may appropriate these words to the circumstances surrounding me today. I look back over a period of over 20 years when, as enabled by God, I've been helped to preach the gospel. I have good reason to mourn over the poverty of it. And yet, many a time, having endeavored in my poor way to set forth the gospel, I've had to say this: if it is not the truth, I do not know what the truth is. And I believe in some measure I may say this morning, appropriating these words of the Apostle, that so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Grand Rapids also. For, dear friends, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe in some measure I have known a little of the life and the power of it in my own soul. And in my own life I have looked around and I have seen something of the life and the power of the gospel in others. We have also in the Word of God the various characters left on record in whose heart the power of the gospel was made known. And I am not in the least ashamed of that gospel. For as the Apostle speaks here, it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So as much as in me is. The Apostle could not preach anything more than what the Lord had revealed to him. And I suppose, having announced this as a text, you friends here will be wondering, well, how much is in you? As much as in me is, and I cannot reach beyond my own measure, I cannot reach beyond that which the Lord has seen fit to give me, but as much as in me is, so may the Lord grant me continued help to preach unto you the gospel of his grace. How much is found in any minister? There are some who are one talent men. There are others who are 10 talent men. A one talent man cannot make himself any different from what he is. But there is a point I want to bring before you here, friends. let us ever bear in mind that the Lord will supply the needs of his people. And believe me, I do not wish to shelter wrongly behind it, but you will find in me that which will correspond with your need. The Word of God says, as with the people, so with the priest. A barren people, a barren ministry. That's God's order. Let us again bear in mind this solemn truth. The Lord will supply the needs of his people. And my mind often goes to the word I mention in prayer, the word of the Lord Jesus, looking upon his disciples. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I wonder, dear friends, how much prayer the ministry cost you. I wonder how many prayers were offered this morning before you came into this building. They are recorded in heaven. You know, we read this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I would venture to say this, that if you are found hungering and thirsting after the things of God, there will be many prayers go up to God before you reach this building. So, as much as in me is, it's a very humbling thought to a minister that in some respects, the degree, the measure, in which the Lord is pleased to use him depends on the people before him. I say, dear friends, I wouldn't hide behind it wrongly, but I know it's true. And you may be sure of this. If the Lord gives you a desire after himself, if the Lord be pleased to give you a hungering and a thirsting after the things of God, he'll surely to fulfill that desire. The word reads like this, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Dear friend, that word is true. But you may be ready to say, but my mouth has never been filled, it's never been opened then. There's one thing I do know, and here I wish to take my stand in my future ministry. The Word of God is true. In my Bible I have the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and I hope it might be made known to some of you here as being the Word of God and not merely the Word of man. I hope, dear friend, the Lord will bring you up here from time to time with a desire after the things of God. So as much as in me is, seek to bear me up by prayer. I'm going to be very bold here. My mind often goes to Moses. When the children of Israel fought against Amalek, and you will remember in reading how that Moses went upon the mount and lifted up his hands. And as his arms were lifted up, so Israel prevailed. But when through weariness the arms of Moses were lowered, then Amalek prevailed. I wonder if you as a people realize how much prosperity or declension hangs upon your own prayers. So again, friends, I'm not going to hide my own weaknesses behind this point. No, I know them. I know my poverty. I have good reason so be ashamed before God on account of it, but believe me, as you are enabled to bear up your minister before God, so will the Lord be pleased to bless his own word to your soul. You know, there are some who come to the house of God. The first time they think about it is when they come inside the door. And maybe when they go, they say, well, there's never anything for me. No, friend, how can you expect it? You know, in business matters, or in everyday matters, or in our home affairs, if there are those things in the future we anticipate, we think about them, do we not? We talk about them. And so it will be with you if the man of my people must be as the Lord said to Isaiah the prophet, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. The reward of his hand shall be given him. Dear friends, before me this morning, there's a very clear line, the two sets of pews. And you know, through this congregation, and through the whole earth today, the Lord has drawn a very clear line. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Do you mean to tell me that in the face of such momentous issues, you don't think much about it? It doesn't worry you. It doesn't trouble you. Never draws forth a prayer from your heart. Oh, dear friend, how solemn again I say to sit under the sound of the truth and never to be brought to know the life and the power of it. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Do you look for an orator? Do you look for eloquence? My dear friend, had I the ability, the natural ability, to work upon your feelings and to reduce you to tears, it wouldn't do you one little bit of good. Because after the service, you just wipe your tears away and go on just as you were before. But you know, if the Lord is pleased to come and break your heart and make known the power, the life of the gospel in your own soul, well, you can't wipe those kind of tears away. We can never get away from what the Lord is pleased to do, and that is what I seek above all in my ministry. My dear friend, I want to see the work of God. We have to get back to this simple, basic matter. Every one of us here this morning, we have never dying souls. And this is a solemn point. If you live and die as you were born, you will perish eternally. It can't be otherwise. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we were born sinners. Take David, the man after God's own heart. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And dear friends, if the Lord be pleased to give you to feel your malady, you will come seeking for the remedy. We live in a day today when many will seek for, I believe many meet together in a kind of social religious atmosphere. You know, if you go to an earthly physician and you have something wrong with your body, you will say to him, look, I want to know whether you can give me something to cure my disease. And if you come to the house of God in a healthy state of soul, it won't be external things you'll be after. There is a form, and we do desire to keep our form consistent with the mind and the will of God. But this is where I hope the Lord may bring some of you, where you know you are sinners in the sight of God, and he brings you to the house of God pleading for mercy. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, I came not among you with enticing words of man's wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, but I was with you with weakness. Mark this, friend. The Apostle Paul, that godly man, before the people in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I believe I've known what that's been. As soon as we feel strong in ourselves, the Lord lays his hand upon us and reminds us of this, that we are not our own. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in not trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasible words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. Referring to the extent I read from Good Philpot, dear friend, you may never look for me to try to daub up walls with untempered mortar. I hope the Lord may ever save me from saying pillow to all armholes. I suppose it would be very easy to be popular today, to say, well, you're all going to heaven, you're all good Christians. Well, dear friends, I'm going to leave that matter. That's in the hand of my judge. That's in the hand of my God. As I come and set before you the gospel, so I will do so, even as the apostles did of old. I do not wish to turn aside from the one and only theme of the gospel, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The apostle said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For what purpose? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If your faith stands in the wisdom of men, I could come here. Had I gifts of oratory, I could preach a pleasing sermon, but I'm more concerned about preaching a good gospel. But with those gifts, as I've already said, then one may preach a good sermon which is pleasing to the ear. But oh, dear friends, I hope it may be made manifest that the ministry is not with persuasible words of man's wisdom, but that it might be in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. For only that is effectual. I hope you've been able to pray for it. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. What is the gospel? It's the good news of salvation. And I do know this, that if the Lord be pleased to awaken you to a right understanding of what you are as a guilty sinner before him, dear friend, you won't want anything else. I know you won't. You will not want me to bring before you any wit or humor or things which would tickle your fancy. I know it's done today. In the professing world, I suppose it's easy enough to gather a congregation. Parents, if you see your children in danger, you don't play about with it, do you? You warn them about it. If they're heading for danger, you tell them where they're going. And I'm going to leave this word with you, friends. Ponder the path of your feet. You know, we're all on a journey. Some of you have gone a good many years in the wilderness now, but where are you going? My dear young friend, do you ever stop to realize where you're going? Every path leads somewhere. Where does yours lead? Where does it lead? You know, beyond time, there's eternity. And it doesn't matter how much you may seek to turn aside from the solemn truth that there is a hell. I know today people will say, well, you mustn't speak about these things where our young people are concerned. Oh, my dear friend, you know what an ostrich does when it's in danger? It buries its head in the sand. And I fear there are many people today, they bury their head in the sand when they see danger coming. No, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. Dear young friend, is it ever a thought with you where you'll spend eternity? Or again then I say, where are you going? Where does the path lead to? Is heaven or hell? Heaven through God's grace, but if you are a stranger to it, how solemn to find one day you will be in hell. No words of mine can ever speak about the bliss and the glory of heaven. Neither can any words of mine paint the awful nature of what it must be to spend a never-ending eternity in the torments of hell. You will say, well, is that preaching the gospel of Christ? Yes, friend. I want to keep very close to my Bible. If I say anything which is inconsistent with the Word of God, you're quite at liberty to tell me. But oh dear friend, do beware of falling out with God's word. And let me say at this juncture, before I go any further, if ever the word of God proved to be a sore to you and you resent it and turn from it, you're in a sad and a solemn place. You know, the Lord Jesus, he said, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The word of God is a sword. But, you know, dear friends, I speak here for myself. When I realize the awful solemnity of eternity, sometimes I find myself before my God like this, Lord, no matter what the cost, I want to be found right. Lord, make me right. Lord, keep me right. Lord, bring me to thyself at last. And if any of you have ever witnessed the deathbed of a godly parent or brother or sister or a godly person, is then, dear friend, you realize the reality of the things of God. And therefore, one finds oneself in this place where one will ask the Lord to come and bless his word to us, no matter how much it may prick, no matter how much it may pierce, The psalmist said, Lord, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. It might break your heart, but that doesn't matter. It'll never break your head. And then we read this, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. In preaching the gospel, I would set before you the word of God in its purity, in its simplicity, but I would do so faithfully, for the preaching of the gospel of the cross of Christ, it is to some a savor of life unto life, and to others it is a savor of death unto death. But in both cases, unto God, it is a sweet savor of Christ. And I would so desire, friends, in preaching this gospel, to set it before you, so that if it be hid, it is hid only to them that are lost. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The little I know about it, friends, is not a gospel to be ashamed of. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It has done too much for me. I know how much it has done for others, and I know how much I pray it may do for you. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But I see our time is gone, and I must leave this subject for the time being. The Lord add his blessing for his name's sake. We'll sing together hymn number 57. 57. What shall the dying sinner do that seeks relief for all his woe? Where shall the guilty conscience find ease for the torment of the mind? thou wilt follow with thy blessing that which has been attended to in thy house this morning. Dearest Lord, make known thy power, stretch forth thy hand, command thy blessing, let not thy word return unto thee void, but magnify thy great and holy name in our midst. In mercy forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. Wash us in thy precious blood. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us. Amen.